Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, welcome to the show. We're going to get started here in just a second. But first, last week there was a major issue with our Patreon subscribers not receiving the email alerts when new episodes dropped. It's been an ongoing thing with email alerts failing to make it through the series of tubes to all of our Patreon subscribers. But here's the best solution for that problem. The Patreon app for your smartphone is the best way to stay up to date with new episodes, and it's the best way to listen. Every time there's a new episode, you're going to get an automatic alert on your phone, notifications for the free shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and notifications for the Friday after party and the Shadow Docket shows too. You can listen at home or in the car with just a couple of swipes, and you can join our community of listeners in the comments under each episode. Subscribe for as little as $1 a month at BobSuskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. Then download the Patreon app from the App Store onto your phone, and you're all set. Thank you for supporting this completely independent podcast, and now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Is that the full poop?
And nothing but the poop.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 28, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? What's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 252, the Biden-Harris administration, 407 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here he comes,
Buzz.
Buzz Burbank. Yeah.
You said it all.
I just said it all. How you doing, my friend? How are you?
Sorry, Senator. I just don't have that kind of cash on me. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
How
hi, everybody.
Doing? Sorry to interrupt the meeting. Yeah.
Oh, it's quite all right. Yeah, I just got off the phone with my senator. He's Bob. Uh-huh. I'm Buzz. And, well, the recount is over, and we picked up 99 new listeners. let's get right to the headlines. R&B singer convicted of sex trafficking. Or to put it another way, R. Kelly, M. Guilty. The Washington Post reports that retail and restaurant workers have left those jobs for better paying jobs in the legal marijuana industry. Also, they don't have to sneak out back to get high.
Where do I sign up? Where do I turn in my resume?
What's not to like?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what to make of this. Here's what I read. The lack of ethical people in today's Republican Party is now being blamed on a supply chain shortage. How does that? I don't understand. Well, this is good news. We've figured out what to do with all these people who refuse to get vaccinated.
Oh, good. Okay.
I understand there's room now under a bridge in Del Rio.
Yeah.
And 88-year-old Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he will run for another 6-year term.
Oh, God.
I say good for Chuck. Mm-hmm. I hope to be that senile when I'm 88.
A whole lot of lumps.
And scientists in Canada hope to use DNA to create a woolly mammoth dinosaur, first one in over 4,000 years.
Wow.
They hope to do this by combining the DNA of an elephant and wolf blitzer.
Okay, here comes Rocky Mountain Mike. Yep.
Yeah.
Tell you all a story about a DC Beltway criminal type.
house job because he had another country on the side. Well, he went into a restaurant and wouldn't even finish up his plate. He said, they've gone and laced my salad with some Hidden Valley DNA. Well, the rest of us have noticed Giuliani, Sidney Powell, they must be high.
Mm-hmm. Drunk.
It's reported they've been drinking and are running around with Flynn and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be telling people vaccine lies today. Like when Mike Flynn said they juiced him with some Hidden Valley DNA. The day Obama socked Mike Flynn with some Hidden Valley DNA.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're laughing and applauding to keep from crying and screaming. That's
oh, it's all you can do, right? Because it's dark out there, Bob. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's dark out there.
Yes, exactly. Every time I laugh, and you know what? There is an old man who sits behind me in a chair and laughs out loud to everything we say. I don't know if you've noticed
That's
this.
That's me.
Yeah. No, it's not you. It's actually me and our friend CC Grace used to think that there was some other guy who sat behind us, but it was just me laughing. I guess I sound like an old fat guy when I laugh. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, whenever we laugh, imagine that inside we're going, "Oh God, no!"
Yes,
that's kind of the
wild
translation.
Crying. Yes, yeah.
No, the
screaming
wild
and
screaming.
Crying while we laugh.
Yeah, right. exactly. Well, you know, every once in a while, though, Buzz, we get some good news. We get some interesting revelations coming out of former Trump officials. Sometimes information documents are leaked and so on. And we get, you know, we can kind of genuinely laugh at the misfortune of the former president, right?
And we need this, and I'm looking forward to it. But I have to tell you what my starting point is.
Okay,
today, Bob, and that is that, you know, and I tweeted this week that if justice doesn't come soon, it isn't coming.
Uh-huh.
Now, you take Matt Gaetz, for example, just to choose an example,
mm-hmm.
the Matt Gaetz case. We understand that, you know, Greenberg is cooperating like crazy, that they've dropped a lot of charges against Greenberg in exchange for a lot of help in prosecuting Gaetz. So, on one hand, you can feel confident the prosecution's coming. I've often said you have to be patient. The wheels turn, but they turn slowly. I think I said this last week, I've joined the ranks of the impatient now, because the clock is ticking. Time is running out. Justice delayed is justice denied. It's time to get moving. And I hope the things that you're about to bring to us help toward that end.
Yeah, well, when it comes to Matt Gaetz, imagine it this way. We just now received, you know, the good news about R. Kelly finally getting his comeuppance. I was joking about R. Kelly on my VH1 sketch comedy show 16 years ago. So that gives you an idea in terms of how slowly justice sometimes works in this country, especially if you're a rich, well-connected guy. Yeah.
And in this case, he assaulted dozens of women over 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
There was justice, but it did not come in time to help the women who were abused over those 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's too long to wait.
Yeah.
In many ways, justice delayed is justice denied, and it certainly was for those young women.
Well, and then when we fast forward to everything we're talking about these days, some of which we're going to discuss today, including the Robert Kagan piece in the Washington Post, which, by the way, is a must read. We'll get to that in a few minutes here. But in the meantime, it's so imperative that the wheels of justice start spinning a little more quickly. And I'm looking at the Department of Justice. I'm looking at the House Insurrection Committee. I'm looking at all of these different investigations into Donald Trump and all of his malfeasance, all of his criminality, all of his fascist idiocracy. And I feel as though it needs to be swift, or we'll add the ER at the end. It needs to be swifter at this point, because the longer we wait, the more they get settled in, the more Trumpism continues to metastasize, and the more copycats emerge going, well, I guess we can do this now. I guess it's okay. No one's going to prison for it.
A smart prosecution is one that does not show its cards. I understand that.
Yeah.
But there are millions of us out here who would like a sign. Mm-hmm. Throw us a bone.
Yeah.
Give us some indication that you are pursuing justice.
Yeah.
Where it's needed. It's taking too long. It's going to be the 22 midterm campaign season is soon upon us.
Yeah.
We've got to take care of some of these things and quickly before the window of opportunity closes, and it might.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and when it comes to this House Insurrection Committee, we now have news, and we covered this a little bit on the Friday after party, but the news that came down on Thursday is, yes, indeed, subpoenas are handed down to Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, yes. Dan Scavino.
Absolutely.
Cash Patel. Mm-hmm. And the key now is to not just hand down those subpoenas, but to enforce those subpoenas.
Right. And Chairman Benny Thompson has indicated that he does intend to enforce them. And there's been no indication from the Department of Justice that it will stand in the way of that.
Yeah.
This may play out in court again, which drags it out further. But I hope, this time, the Democrats in Congress are not going to let this go.
Yeah. Well, Adam Schiff was intimating the same kind of thing on Lawrence O'Donnell's show, I believe it was Thursday night, and saying that, look, we're going to talk about contempt here. We're going to talk about a favorable DOJ that will act upon our recommendations now. There's no more Bill Barr to obstruct for Donald Trump. And we knew that was happening throughout the previous 4 years. But Rick Wilson wrote a tweet thread here of recommendations for the Democrats as far as approaching these subpoenas and making sure they get enforced, making sure they have some teeth behind them. And I think this is so important. And once again, those of you who listened to the after party, got this scoop already on Friday, but it bears repeating now. And you know what? Look, say what you will about Rick Wilson and his organization, the Lincoln Project. The fact is that these guys have been fighting Republican battles for decades now. They know where the vulnerabilities are. They know how to outflank the Republicans because they once were Republicans. So I take what they say and their recommendations maybe more seriously than I should, but I think it's important. I think it's valid. I think it comes from a place of experience, and I get the sense that they're earnestly trying to reveal some secrets and reveal some end-arounds that we may not have known otherwise.
And right now, we need the allies, and we may not agree with them on, in fact, we can probably count on not agreeing with them in the future.
Yeah.
But right now, they are allies that we need, and furthermore, they're on the front lines of fighting our battle. They're on the front lines with us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, remember the miniseries V back in the early 80s?
Yes,
it was about an alien invasion. Well, Robert Englund played one of the alien invaders who was actually a good guy, and he flipped sides and joined the human resistance and was able to offer the human resistance insights, Mark Singer and all the others, into how the aliens thought and what they might do next. And that
That's
was... It's invaluable for the humans. And that is my archaic reference for the day. Thank you very much.
Even if you never saw the show, that the story you just told makes perfect sense.
Yes.
It is a perfect analogy to what Rick Wilson is.
Here's Rick Wilson's recommendations for the 1-6 committee. He says, now let me take a moment to note something for the 1-6 committee. Each one of those Trump mooks will resist the subpoenas. Each one of them will demand to testify in private. Each one will make spurious claims of executive privilege. Each one of them will lie and lie. Now, and this is the tricky part, but try to pay attention here.
Okay.
Fuck these guys, he said. Don't let them or their lawyers wedge you into phony courtesies and hollow formalities of the old Washington. These are people who would have gladly burned down our nation. They tried. 1-6 for them wasn't a failed coup. It was a training exercise.
Right.
Bannon, an avowed Leninist who wants to destroy every institution to rebuild them in his own alt-Reich vision. Meadows, an apparatchik who could carry out any excess. Patel, dirty from the jump. They are the most hostile witnesses, hostile to the truth, hostile to the country, hostile to democracy and the republic. They'll be playing for the Fox camera. Your task isn't simply to investigate, but to humiliate. Keep in mind the power of spectacle, which is too often underappreciated in politics. Keep in mind that the Trump acolytes and anal leeches, oh boy, will plan and execute the same outrage at scale. These are enemies of the American people and should be treated as such. I'm a sterner sort than anyone on the committee, but for once, get the taste of blood in your mouth. For once, act like you fucking mean it and force subpoenas. DOJ will back it. Jail obstructionists. Demand candor. follow the phones, follow the money, follow the email trail, the Venn diagram of White House slash Trump world conspirators and the angry mob is filled with some truly degenerate and vile human filth like Roger Stone and Ali Alexander. Live hearings. That's what I like to see.
Yes.
Fill the media void with the Trump mutant parade. Bring in the spawn of Trump. Make it hurt. And then he said, enough for now, more to come. And that was Rick Wilson the other day with, I think, appropriate recommendations. They played nicely. They played, I think, with kid gloves too often during the two impeachment trials as far as subpoenas and investigations and getting those people dragged into Congress.
And we see how that worked out for us.
Yeah.
So it's time to stop screwing around. And this has been our message lately.
Yeah.
It is time to stop screwing around. It's time to give up some of the old politeness, as he mentioned there, and get serious, because this isn't Republican versus Democrat. This is democracy versus authoritarianism.
Yep.
And this is for all the marbles.
Yeah. And what did we see last time? And what are they going to do this time? They're going to drag this out. They're going to try to run out the clock until the next election, hoping that Donald Trump or some copycat, will come along and rescue them.
We can't do that anymore. Yeah, we can't do that anymore. It's happened too many times.
Yeah.
It's time to crack down.
Okay. So now next up, we've got some revelations from this Stephanie Grisham book. And, you know, I sat here, Buzz, for a good half hour, 45 minutes debating with myself. Do we talk about the Stephanie Grisham revelations in this book? Stephanie Grisham, those of you who don't know, she was the press secretary under Donald Trump who never held any press briefings. She didn't really appear at all. She didn't do anything. I think she was somewhere between what's her face with the face and Kayleigh McEnany. Yeah, she was in between. She was the
Sarah Huckabee and Kayleigh McEnany.
Sarah Huckabee, yes, that's the face with the face. So Stephanie Grisham published this book, and I didn't want to give more attention to an ex-Trumper who's suddenly looking for absolution. That's not the point here. I think that all of these people need to be treated as pariahs, and the fact that they were able to go off and sign multi-million-dollar book deals with whichever publishing company that they signed on with, it doesn't set well with me. I don't like this. I don't like normalizing these people.
Think of her. Think of her too as a hostile witness.
Yeah,
this is what she's had to say.
Yeah, yeah. So a bunch of things though in this book that are worth knowing, worth repeating here, from a perspective, at the very least, from a perspective of history, if not as a warning sign, a gigantic red flag going, hey, look, this guy's running again. Be careful.
There are still two schools of thought on that, that he may run, that he may not run. Maybe this is a fundraising scam. We don't know what his health is going to be. And furthermore, I keep hoping that if the January 6th commission, for example, does its work, maybe he won't be available to run. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, and if we pursue justice as we should, he won't be available to run. Why is he out running around now? Why are so many of these people still out running around? It boggles the mind. You know, the Republicans are the party that stormed the Capitol. The Republicans are the party that refused to fund government. They obstruct, they destroy. It's all they do. We have no alternative but to crush them.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the Kagan piece. And in fact, a lot of the shit that I've been writing for the last 5-6 years, which is that, our system is ill-equipped to handle someone like Donald Trump. We don't know from a press perspective. We don't know how to handle it from a constitutional perspective, a rule of law perspective. There's no real system set up for a despot like Donald Trump rising to the presidency. So we're kind of screwed until we set up strictures, we set up guardrails to protect democracy from people who would like to exploit democracy to tear down democracy. And that's kind of what Donald Trump is doing. But meanwhile, the Stephanie Grisham book here, the first thing that jumped off the page for me was Donald Trump's conversation with Vladimir Putin that Stephanie Grisham apparently was privy to. And she said Trump told Putin in Osaka back in 2019.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to act a little tougher with you for a few minutes, but it's for the cameras. And after they leave, we'll talk. You understand? Another brick in the wall, another thing that indicates that, yes, Donald Trump absolutely has been appeasing Vladimir Putin since before he was even president. This is a thing, And it's amazing, Buzz, how this has been relegated to the status of conspiracy theory, especially since the Mueller report.
There's got to be a stronger word than appeasement for this sort of behavior.
Yeah, but motorboating is butthole.
Thank you. That's much
better.
Thank
you. I always come up with something that'll sicken half our listeners.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, so this is another indication that Donald Trump's priority was Russia and not the country he was president of.
And again, you know, like her, don't like her, believe her, don't believe her. This is what this hostile witness has to say, and that should be considered. But please, 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 let's prosecute all of these folks. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, I think Putin was playing to Donald Trump's insecurities and flaws. And this was, again, another example of this in the Grisham book. She said that Putin posted a sexy woman, a brunette, in the room in this meeting with Donald Trump to distract Trump.
Yeah.
So they were manipulating him all along. And I don't think he understood that he was being manipulated. And so therefore he can get in front of his rally people and say, I'm fine. I'm tough on Putin.
If anything, Trump thought he was manipulating them.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't that go to his personality?
Yes, it does. So Ms. Grisham says that a trip to North Korea inspired Mr. Trump to ask her to research ways the press could be permanently evicted from the James Brady briefing room. A trip to North Korea inspired Donald Trump. North Korea. Donald Trump wants a North Korean policy when it comes to the press in the White House.
Well, he traveled. He saw something he liked. You know, wanted to pick
it
up.
Just incredible. Yeah. Just incredible. The ass kissing. You want to talk about motorboating someone's butthole? Donald Trump, every dictator he came across.
Yeah, exactly that. He wanted to be those dictators. He wanted to be like those dictators. So if he saw a dictator with what he thought was a good idea, he wanted to adopt that here. Why can't we do that here?
Yeah. Well, Grisham defends herself a little bit, saying that she dragged her feet when it came to that. So
a little.
Just kept putting him off,
The book's just now coming out, so I would say so,
Yeah. Well, and again, I take that with a grain of salt, too. Look at me. I tried my best to make sure that he was blunted and that I kind of stymied him along the way. I'm not going to buy that shit.
That's the great thing about a hostile witness is you know not to believe everything they say.
Exactly. She wrote that Mr. Trump called her while aboard Air Force One to defend the size of his penis after Stormy Daniels insulted it in an interview. Yeah, he was really pissed off that Stormy Daniels described his penis as being mushroom-shaped and little. And so he was pissed off. Tell everyone my penis is not mushroom-shaped and tiny.
Get that out right away.
Yeah. This is Donald Trump taking the bait every single time. Trump always makes things worse for Trump. You ignore that shit. You're president of the United States. You have access to the nuclear codes. Stop worrying about what a porn star says about your weird-looking dick. I mean, my God.
New York Times headline, Trump penis not tiny.
At one point, Grisham wrote, Mr. Trump's handlers designated an unnamed White House official known as the Music Man, to play him his favorite show tunes, including Memory from Cats, to pull him from the brink of rage.
He must say, here's why he loves Cats. He loves the costumes. He wanted James Corden's part. Yeah.
I just saw a joke. I think it was a Norm MacDonald joke on Weekend Update one time. He said, today marks the 10th anniversary of the show Cats on Broadway. Also, the 10th anniversary of a guy turning to his wife and saying, "What the hell is this?"
That's so true.
So
I've seen it. I can speak with authority.
Apparently, Donald Trump loving him some show tunes. Isn't that an interesting take on Donald Trump and his alpha masculinity? Aide, it is revealed later, is Mrs. Grisham's ex-boyfriend. She does not identify him, but it is Max Miller, a former White House official now running for Congress with Mr. Trump's support. Blah, 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 blah. That is the Music Man, Max Miller.
another mob name for the mob.
Yeah, and that could become its own musical, by the way. The Music Man, the musical, all about Max Miller. And then what they could do is play the music from the Music Man Broadway show to Donald Trump when he gets angry again. What a goddamn baby. It's like, you know what it is? I'm surprised they didn't stick him in the car and drive him around the block when he couldn't fall asleep like an actual infant.
Well, they did that when he was in the hospital with COVID.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
He slept like a baby after that. You know, yeah, I just prosecute him. Prosecute them all. And, and let's do it quickly. This is going to, the longer they wait, it's going to lose its effect. The longer they wait, the more we risk democracy.
Yeah.
It's our way of life is slipping away from us, and somebody needs to do something.
Here is the most fascinating section of this book so far in terms of the revelations. Grisham wrote, she was a close-up observer of Mr. Trump's obsession with control and details a scene in which the president undergoes, oh my God, a colonoscopy without anesthesia. Though she doesn't name the procedure. They just, I think it's the New York Times investigated and found out that it was a colonoscopy. Because, she reasons, even temporarily assigning power to the vice president would have been seen as showing weakness.
Right, right.
So he underwent a colonoscopy without anesthesia, and why could I not have film of that? Film of Donald Trump getting a colonoscopy without anesthesia and being in intense pain.
Wow. Well, or intense pleasure, depending on...
Yeah, never mind. Never mind, because there is a possibility of that, too.
You never know.
Jesus Christ. Does anyone get a colonoscopy without anesthesia? And how badly has that got to fucking hurt?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it would or not.
I mean, would it really have been bad for Donald Trump if the word got out that he, like every other person on the fucking planet, when they get a colonoscopy, he was under anesthesia? Would that damage him in any possible way? This is the psychosis. This is how psychotic Donald Trump is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He feels the need to have a colonoscopy without anesthesia because he's so deeply insecure about his masculinity. That's how this needs to be read. She goes on to say she reserves special ire for Mr. Kushner, Jared Kushner, whom she calls Rasputin in a slim-fitting suit. At one point, Mr. Trump warns her not to get on Mr. Kushner's bad side. The truth was pretty much everyone eventually wore out their welcome with the president, Ms. Grisham writes. We were bottles of milk with expiration dates. And that, of course, is the absolute truth. We've seen that on so many occasions where, and Donald Trump has already started to throw Stephanie Grisham under the bus. He's already made, I haven't looked at the statements because, you know, I'm a well-adjusted, sane person. But, you know, he's already pissed off at Stephanie Grisham, insulting her and saying she was a terrible press secretary. You know, all the rest of it. All the best people, right? All the great people that he hired to be part of his administration. Suddenly are awful, horrendous, sucky people who have no business working in government at all. And we find this out after they've been hired and left.
You're useful until you're not.
Yeah, exactly right. So that, so far, those are the revelations from the Stephanie Grisham book. And I'm sure there are many more to come. Yeah.
To me, the big news out of the book was the conversation with Putin, which helped fill in some missing details from that story. And this, too, could be important fodder for prosecution.
Yeah.
Let it please come quickly.
Yeah. I mean, what do we even talk about when it comes to prosecution on the Trump-Russia thing, other than the fact that there are, what was it, 10 or 12 obstruction of justice possibilities in the Mueller report that Mueller said point blank in Congress could be prosecuted by the Department of Justice? They just have to be, someone's got to have the balls to be able to do it. And so far, we haven't seen anything. So far, crickets chirping.
Initially, Joe Biden wanted to he was very concerned that he didn't want his administration to be about only prosecuting Donald Trump. He wanted to try to move things in a more positive direction.
Well, you know, one of the problems that I see is just the classic political issue, which is, does one administration want to be seen as if they're prosecuting their political enemies? And that's a little bit of a hurdle that you have to kind of jump through, politically speaking. But I think there are very few people who even give a shit about that anymore. And the only people who really do intensely give a shit about something like that are people like Chuck Todd and the Sunday show hosts and the usual, cocktail party circuit, the DC media insiders who really care about things like that. And you know what? There was a time when I cared about things like that. But now we've gotten into a place where If we give these guys a millimeter, they're going to take 1,000 light years, and they are going to exploit any weakness, any opportunity they have to institute fascist idiocracy in this country, to the point where once they gain control over one or more branches of government, they are never going to leave. The stakes have increased so significantly that I just don't see any validity in adhering to some of these old concerns. They're not even traditions. They're not even norms. They're just old concerns. Like, oh, Jesus, Joe Biden, he'd be prosecuting his political enemy. He'd be prosecuting a former president. And then someone would come along and try to prosecute. The next president would try to prosecute Biden. And then so on and so on. And each president is preoccupied with prosecuting the previous president.
There has never been a president like Donald Trump. This is certainly an extenuating circumstance.
Yeah.
And in our pursuits here, we have to flag the news media again. Which gave little or no coverage. None that I know of, certainly not on any of the nightly newscasts, no coverage of that six-point memo that seems to me, that we talked about last week, that seems to be the most damning piece of evidence to come along so far.
Yeah.
That was revealed and died without any media coverage. I'm hoping that House investigators and DOJ prosecutors are taking a look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, you know what? I wanted to move over and talk about the results of the Arizona audit, which we covered a little bit on Friday. But there is another level of detail to this since the weekend that I want to get into here, because naturally, the goalposts have been entirely moved in this conversation. Doesn't matter what the results of the audit were.
In their minds.
Yeah, in their minds. They're taking a one table out of the report, table 6.2, and blowing it up and taking advantage of the poorly educated who support them and all the red hats and their willingness to buy into Donald Trump's bullshit just because it owns the libs or they've got their grievances or the usual things. But they're obviously buying hook, line, and sinker Donald Trump's latest spin on this this audit report. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on our Big Tuesday show right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Bob Seska Show.
So I pour my thoughts from a boxed red wine. It's blood droplets that littered across the tabletop. Cheers to the memory of a memory of a night I forgot. Give it up, I tell myself I'm behind closed eyes. Hiding and I missed you tonight. But I wish you good night. I'll be.
Yeah, from Spokane, Washington, brand new to the show, Snacks at Midnight is the name of these guys. Song called Boxed Wine. Yeah. So interesting. I love this. This is from their album, Mom's Proud. Snacks at MidnightOfficial.com. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Under this here show. Thank you for supporting all of our indie bands. Indie music literally, I think we're doing indie music countdown this weekend, I want to say. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Snuck right up on me. I'm like, oh, shit. It's the end of the month already. Okay.
Keep them coming.
Yes, indeed. All right. So let's see what else here. Yeah, we're going to talk about the fraudit results and the latest spin to come out of this. As you know, not only did the cyber ninjas discover that, oh, yes, Joe Biden actually did win in Arizona, but they discovered that Trump lost, was it 261 votes, Biden gained 99.
Right. So the margin of victory expanded by 300 votes in this fraud.
Yes, indeed. I love this story. I love it. I love it. I love it. I was laughing for days about this, and boy, did I need it. In fact, I feel like I've got a little bit of brain damage from the lack of oxygen from laughing for so many hours.
I felt good for you and Kimberly on Friday because I know your main two topics were the four indictments that were handed down and this, the fraud.
Yeah, I did big Cape Fear laughing like Robert De Niro on Cape. This is me for like 3 days. The giant cigar staring at my computer screen.
For those of you counting, I believe this is the seventh win for Joe Biden in this election in Arizona.
Yes, indeed.
Got all the challenges.
It was nice to see Brett Baer calling Arizona for Joe Biden again, months and months later. But of course, almost right away, I think this is Friday morning. This is before the report even came out. The usual suspects, Boris Epstein and Donald Trump and all the rest of them, Junior, and you know the whole cabal of red hats. They were talking about this one table from the report while at the same time saying, don't prejudge the report. Don't look at this report. It's fake news.
Don't look at the numbers.
The preliminary report is fake. Don't look at it. Oh, and by the way, here's numbers from it. Just nonsense. So they're looking at table 6.2, which outlines some alleged, and I underscore alleged because Maricopa spent a lot of time debunking each one of these things as being irregularities. They're not
in real time. Yeah, they did it in real time, in fact.
Exactly. So it amounts to around, give or take, 44,000 votes, these alleged irregularities outlined in Table 6.2. Well, Donald Trump, this is now his squeaky toy. This is now his favorite thing in the world to talk about. This is the 44,000 thing, to the point where he was able to extrapolate that out as if, despite the conclusions of the Cyber Ninjas report, the conclusions of the fraudit, despite all that, Donald Trump says, I totally won. I totally won Arizona. It's victory, victory, victory for me. And now the election needs to be decertified so I can be president again. This is such fantasy land nonsense for the benefit of his gawking, gullible sucker red hats who keep pumping money into his Save America PAC, right?
And now he's got his butt boy, the dictator of Texas, Greg Abbott, investigating the election results in that state, which Trump won.
Yes. What I want to see is that there were enough irregularities to give Joe Biden Texas. Wouldn't that be funny if they did an audit of Texas and determined that Joe Biden actually won Texas? Because it wasn't a close margin. I mean, I don't know if there's enough votes to be found to put Joe Biden over the top in Texas.
Not in Texas, no.
But it could take away, I mean, if Texas is anything like Arizona, it could take away hundreds of votes from Donald Trump, couldn't it?
But Abbott just doesn't have the time and money to fix the electrical grid. He only has time to take away women's rights and voting rights and support Trump's lies about not just the past election, but the future one. A number of people have been saying this, and I've been gratified to see it, that January 6th and all of this stuff isn't really about overturning the last election.
Yeah.
It's about overturning the next one.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And what do you think? Did you see John Oliver this week, by the way?
Was there a new John Oliver last night? Or
there was. And Sunday night. Yeah. One of his segments was on this very topic. And, he took to task Joe Biden's claim that we can out-organize and out-vote voter suppression.
Oh, yeah.
He said that's like saying, you know, the keys are locked in the house. And you're outside the house. Why haven't you, you know, what are you complaining about? Why, you have keys, you have a house.
Yeah.
You know, well, you can't get to it, just as some people can't get to vote because of these new restrictions in Texas. So he challenged Biden on a couple of things this week, but one of them I had to agree with wholeheartedly, and that was having faith. You know, and I saw... what was the senator I saw last night on Rachel? A Democratic senator saying that he thought the Republicans ought to do the right thing on the budget. Idiot! They're not going to do the right thing.
Yeah,
you're wasting your time to even say that, much less count on it. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. What you have to do is overpower them.
That's right.
And Democrats need to step up and overpower them. And of course, Democrats have problems of their own, certainly with Manchin and Sinema and perhaps others There's so many things going on, and it goes in a million different directions, and it's all interconnected.
Yeah,
and it's becoming quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and now there's this additional dimension to it where they just take little bits and pieces out of these audit reports, and look, right. I've been predicting this all along. I said Thursday, maybe Friday, but I've said it multiple times over the past 5-6 years. They don't need to have the facts on their side. All they need to do is take one little thing, one little teeny tiny line or a sentence, and they can blow that up into being a gigantic loophole that Donald Trump can just waltz right on through.
Yeah, they had to have something for the conservative base out of this. Yeah. I don't know. I was surprised that they concluded that Biden won. I was expecting predetermined results of this recount would be that Trump won.
Yeah.
No, they managed to sow doubt and steal voter data, and that's what this was really all about, and get donations from the base.
Sometimes the surprises come from unexpected sources, and that's this one in particular. But with these 44,000 votes, the thing that they're not telling their supporters, this is cut right to the chase here, the thing that they're not saying is, chances are those 44,000 votes that they're claiming are irregular in this table 6.2, they can very easily be split with the same percentages as the overall vote totals in Maricopa County. The assumption should be that it was whatever it was, 55-45 in favor of Biden. So the votes are split that way. You could even extrapolate it out to be, okay, well, let's just assume 50-50. And that would essentially mean if you were to count these irregular votes as being non-votes, if you were to strike all of these ballots from the rolls, the election results would turn out exactly the same.
They would be the same. I suspect most of the irregularities were Trump voters. Now, that's just a suspicion on my part, but if I understand correctly, Texas only had one voter fraud case this past year, and it was a Trump voter.
Yeah, exactly. There is no such thing as voter fraud. Statistically, it does not exist.
Exactly.
According to reporting by the Arizona Mirror, numbers listed on the table are unclear. For example, the Mirror's Jeremy Duda.
Look out! Camptown racers sing this song. Duda, Duda. Camptown racetrack 5 miles long. Oh, doo-da-day.
The review found 10,342 potential voters who had voted in multiple counties in Arizona based on voters with identical first and last name, middle initials, and birth years. However, the report says it's possible for multiple people to share those details.
Oh, indeed.
But of course, this is all, stuff that the suckers don't care about. The gullible red hats don't give a shit about. I know Donald Trump certainly doesn't give a shit about. He's just going to plow right through all that. All the little details, all the little facts, that make up reality. These are things that are completely irrelevant when you get the giant stomping baby crushing buildings with his little teeny tiny feet.
It's lie after lie. Everything they say is a lie.
Yeah.
We've gotten used to that fact. I mean, I'm not surprised anymore by anything they lie about. Everything they say is a lie. Mm. How do you fight that? Well, we have to crush them prosecutorially. Yeah. And electorally.
Well, meantime, we've got some, you know what? Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do sort of a future corpses of the week.
Future corpses of the week.
And our sad Dixie. We need that music too.
Of course. Time to get serious.
Anti-mandate protesters invade a Staten Island food court over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be, again, future corpses of the week. We can totally anticipate the Mad Libs headline, leaders of anti-mandate protest at New York food court die of COVID. Invariable.
Sadly,
some
other people may go too.
But God damn, I'm looking at this crowd of gawking yokels invading the food court in Staten Island. And just, they're so delighted by what they're doing. And I'm just seeing a handful of them. I mean, there must have been 30 of them, 35 of them. I'm seeing a handful of them already on respirators. I mean, I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that
they're carting around those little oxygen tanks.
not yet. But I was saying, it's like I can see the future. When I watch this video, I can see some of their futures, and they involve ventilators.
Yeah.
So, indeed. So, meantime, this anti-vax cartoonist ended up with a bad case of COVID. This guy, Ben Garrison, he's treating severe COVID with beet juice. And
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
he can. In fact, he can stop there.
Yeah, he's treating his COVID and his wife's COVID with beet juice. Poor wife, by the way. He's taking it. Ivermectin. He's taking zinc. He's taking lots and lots of zinc.
Well, it is cold and flu season.
Yeah, yeah. And also, the reason this guy is in the news is because he made a name for himself during the Trump years with viral cartoons that were heavy with conspiracy theories and depicted the exercise-avoiding ex-president as a hyper-masculine, square-jawed beefcake. And he is, of course, none of those things, but yeah.
He had no idea how viral his cartoons are.
Yeah. Meantime, we have an unruly passengers update. Yeah, we're up to 4,500 unruly passenger reports, according to the FAA. And remember, some time ago, I was talking about this chart at the FAA website in terms of the number of investigations initiated into these unruly passengers. At the time, it was around 619 or so. That was, let's say, late August, early September. Now that number is up to 808 investigations initiated into unruly passengers on airplanes. And it's about goddamn time that the airlines all get together and have a national no-fly list where they share the names of these assholes and keep them off airplanes.
Yeah, Delta, I don't know if we mentioned this last week or not, Delta is ready to share its list and is asking other airlines to join it. I don't see why they wouldn't. I don't know what the response has been or will be. But, the only way to deal with this is the same with those lawbreakers in Washington, is enforce the law, prosecute them.
Yeah, Delta said it's banned 1,600 people from flying. Jeez. And it's calling on other airlines to share their internal no-fly lists of unruly passengers, saying in a memo, a list of banned customers doesn't work as well if that customer can fly on another airline.
Right.
Great point. smart thinking there, Delta.
I tweeted all the airlines the other day, United, Delta, Southwest. I don't remember who all I included, all the American, said I told all the airlines I will fly again when you require vaccinated passengers.
Yeah. I mean, someone's going to get seriously hurt at some point.
So they need to do both those things. And the airlines are asking for help on that. It may be time to bring back those air marshals employed after 9/11. Swift and firm enforcement is called for here if you want to make that stop. On that subject, general subject of rage, hospitals have started issuing, at least one hospital has issued panic buttons to its medical workers who find themselves in the position of having to tell anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers that their loved one has COVID, because the reactions from those folks has been violent in many cases. And now hospital workers are under threat of attack from these angry idiot assholes.
We're talking about a nation that has experienced one of the worst terrorist attacks in the world, involving airplanes being used as missiles. First hijacked and being used as missiles.
Let's put an air marshal on every major flight as we did after 9/11 at a minimum. And I'm sure there are other steps that could be taken. People who are experts in security will have some ideas about this.
Yeah.
But the only way to make the airline violence stop and the hospital violence stop is to swiftly and firmly prosecute it. How long are you going to tolerate this, Mom? Yeah. Well, she's gonna tolerate it until she doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
So until we decide we're not going to tolerate it anymore, this will continue.
Guy tries to get on an airplane. He actually got on the airplane. Gets on the airplane, sits down in his chair, and proceeds to try to light his shoe on fire, because he's got some sort of explosive embedded in his shoe. Fails to do it. Cannot light his shoe on fire. Cannot explode anything on an airplane. Is arrested and convicted. And ever since then, and we're talking about, 19 years ago, something like that. Ever since then, we all have to take our shoes off at the security, the TSA checkpoint at the airport.
Right.
We've got 4,500 reports of passengers being violent on airplanes. I mean, once again, here we cannot allow, just because they're influenced by politics doesn't mean that you know, the free speech clause of the First Amendment extends to every little last thing in this country. There needs to be some sort of cutoff point. Okay, look, you're endangering thousands, if not millions, of other people with your irresponsibility when it comes to vaccines and masks and so on. This isn't a free speech issue. You're endangering other, you're on an airplane, you're endangering other passengers. This is not a free speech issue.
The flight crews know that, and they fear for their safety. The pilots would agree with you, that, although they are less endangered behind that locked door in most cases.
Yeah.
But the rest of the crew, certainly. They're asking for help. They're asking for protection. Mm-hmm. Because they are there for safety, we need to make sure they get it. Again, we can make this stop. It should be pretty easy, really. Enforce the laws, and if that means putting more law enforcement personnel on airplanes to make that happen, it's time to do that.
Now, going back to election laws, as it correlates with COVID at this point, Buzz, I'm wondering, I brought this up on Fugelsang's show a couple of weeks ago, I'm wondering whether the big lie election laws are meant to balance out the fact that Republicans are dying from COVID all over the place. You know, I wonder if that's ever going to level off. You know, you were talking about Joe Biden saying, hey, you know what, maybe we could just power through all these election laws. That's kind of naive, but at the same time, the Republicans are killing themselves. They may be able to balance this out.
I think Republican leaders have factored that in because they have no shame, because there is no limit to the number of ways they will add to their list of cheating methods.
Yeah.
There's no limit to what they will or won't add to that list. So along with voter suppression and everything else, the voter suppression laws, they've added COVID. They know that their numbers are down. So between, it's a way of compensating for that, these voter suppression laws.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Well, in counties where Trump received at least 70% of the vote, COVID has killed about 47 out of every 100,000 people since the end of June. In counties, on the other hand, where Trump won less than 32% of the vote, that number is about 10 in 100,000. So that's a significant difference.
This
one
is
in
a
four.
Republican. This is the Republican variant. Republican disease at this point. It's theirs, not ours.
Right.
Unfortunately, it puts all of us in danger.
Yeah.
And it extends this pandemic, which, you know, I still am experiencing this thing where I'm trying to keep this safe. People I know are taking trips and having visitors from out of town and just behaving as going to restaurants and just behaving as though everything is normal.
Yeah.
While I sit at home playing it safe. And do I have some FOMO from that? Yes, I do. I do. And some anger. Because I have the good sense to stay out of the fray, and because they don't, I have to stay locked down. This country, from top to bottom right now, is being ruled. The policies of this nation are being determined by a minority. Make it stop.
Yeah, yeah. And that minority not only is exacerbating the COVID pandemic, but that minority is, you know, barreling headlong without fucking a care in the world into this form of idiocracy with a gigantic layer of autocratic fascism on top of it. And it is terrifying, utterly, utterly goddamn terrifying. And one of the things I want to talk about next after we come back from the break is a little bit about this Robert Kagan piece in the Washington Post. We were mentioning that earlier in the show. A couple little tidbits from this to bear in mind and to move forward with this, but I'm not going to go over all the details of it. I urge you to read this piece from top to bottom because it might be the most important piece that you read all week, if not all month, if not all year, because it really outlines the stakes of what we're looking at in this country. And it's not good. It's not good news. Not good stuff.
I'm going to spend the next 60 seconds or so thinking, democracy or fascism?
Yeah, even worse. It's fascism, and we're going to be putting sports drinks on the crops. That's exactly how that's going to work. Okay, back.
They have electrolytes.
I'm serious. I'm 100% serious. They're taking horse paste. They're snorting hydrogen peroxide. They're taking beet juice. My God, it's just, I swear. How different is that from putting Brondo on the crops. It's not different. It's the same nonsense, and they're really, really, really doing it. Okay, back with more show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
When all love is gone, I say hello to loneliness. Everything went wrong the day that I met you. Used to be happy all the time. Now I gotta bury it deep inside. There's no such thing as happily ever after.
Oh, good. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is the great Brian Lissick right here. Happy all the time. I love this song. It's from his brand new album, Goodbye, Stupid World. So perfect. BrianLissick.com. Link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. And BobSeska.com/music to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. So now that we're happy all the time, let's talk about let's talk about how we're all doomed. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless drastic action is taken, which is what I'm asking for, yeah, we are.
Yeah, once again, that laughter I just gave you there, Buzz, was me really going, oh, God, what the
That's
fuck?
Nervous, yeah. Nervous end of the world laughter, yes.
Yeah. So Robert Kagan wrote this op-ed in the Washington Post. We've been mentioning it throughout the show today, only because it's so worth reading. If you've been reading my stuff, you've been following this show, you've been following Buzz on Twitter, you've been following Jody and David and Kimberly on Twitter, there's this overarching level of terror, level of impending doom that if we're not careful, if we're not prioritizing, we could end up stumbling right into. Happens time and time again with democracies. They just end up falling into fascism somehow because it's the slow, you know, it's the frog boiling metaphor kind of thing. Robert Kagan writes in the Washington Post here, which I definitely urge you to read. I'm going to put a link in the description so you can read it. One of the things that jumped out for me was this this section right here. In other countries where fascist leaders arise, their would-be opponents are paralyzed in confusion and amazement at this charismatic authoritarian. So much in that sentence right there. So much said that we're experiencing right now. I think a lot of people in the very serious traditional news media are paralyzed in confusion and amazement. How do we cover this? What does this, are there any laws or does the Constitution apply to any of this? What's
going
on?
It's almost as if they're afraid to say the truth because they're afraid it's true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I also think there are quite a few liberals who I see on Twitter and elsewhere who are just, they don't know how to handle this. And this is not a game. This is, we've seen all of the evidence of where he intends to go, where Trumpism will eventually lead if it goes unchecked, if we do not prioritize it as a as an enemy of the Republic. And so the next sentence here is just as important. He writes, they have followed the standard model of appeasement, which always begins right with underestimation.
I'd have to be guilty of that, at least in the early days.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we all could have been guilty of that at some level. I think a lot of Trump voters voted for him the first time around thinking, okay, well, he's going to become presidential. He's going to hire people like David Gergen, and they're going to turn him into, you know, a fairly typical president. He'll still be Trump. It'll do president things. But nah, it never happened. It never happened that way. And I still see people today underestimating him and not taking him as deadly serious as he needs to be taken. And yeah, look, I get for a couple of months there, we were allowed to enjoy the fact that he was no longer president, that Joe Biden had won, that Donald Trump was resoundingly defeated, lost to traditionally red states like Arizona and Georgia. And so that was all good news. And we deserve to celebrate. We deserve to feel good for a little bit, take a break from the existential crisis. But now it's starting to, with the midterms, you know, a little bit more than a year away, it's time to start putting away the euphemisms and our personal choices to ignore the biggest enemy of the Republic to come along since the seceding Confederacy.
Here's another sentence from Robert Kagan, if I may.
Sure.
The destruction of democracy might not come until November 2024, but critical steps in that direction are happening now.
Yeah.
In a little more than a year, it may become impossible to pass legislation to protect the electoral process.
That's right. That's right. And remember, he said this about a year ago. Donald Trump was doing this particular bit during all of his rallies. He told his rally crowds that he deserves a redo of his first term. Think about right. that. In other yeah. words, he's not just interested, Buzz, in a second non-consecutive term. He wants at least two more terms. Translation, uh-huh. if he wins, he will not
he
leave.
Won't leave.
Yeah,
won't leave.
Yeah. And so this is a, I mean, look, you could laugh at this and say, oh, well, no, the Constitution and the 22nd Amendment only says two terms. And they can be non-consecutive, but it is only two terms. And the question is, though, did the Constitution stop him from inciting a mob to invade and occupy the Capitol building? No, the Constitution didn't stop any of that. That's the loopholes here. You know, you go back to someone like Andrew Jackson. It was like, yeah, okay, the Supreme Court has done this. Now let them enforce what they've said. And that's kind of Donald Trump's approach. Yeah, there are these strictures on the presidency, but there's no enforcement, and a lot of these things are unwritten rules. These are traditions, norms of the presidency. I don't need to abide by those. It's not written in law. But as we've seen time and time again, anytime the law creeps up on Donald Trump pushes back, challenges subpoenas, you know, ignores shit. Or when it comes down to making sure he can continue to lead, make sure he doesn't lose his power, get his mob to violently invade a building, whether it was the state legislatures or the state courthouses and so on in places like Michigan and Ohio, where he was protesting against the mask mandates in those areas, you know, or whether it was the insurrection. These are all cases where Donald Trump just didn't give a shit about, you know, what the law was or what the traditions were. This is something that he wanted to do to secure power. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the Constitution says two terms. He's going to take whatever he wants, and he's going to do whatever he can in order to get those terms.
Doesn't matter to him. I think that, you know, our weakness, one of our main weaknesses here is that not enough people know what you and I and the people listening to us right now know.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just flat not paying attention. And if we told them what we're telling each other, many of them would think we're crazy, you know, that we're spouting extreme theories. And the truth is, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
We're crying wolf because there is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we're ignored, this is where the news media comes in. The news media hasn't covered it. They still haven't covered that 6-point memo on how Trump was going to overturn democracy.
Yeah.
And if he were to run again, and if he were to get reelected, you know that he's going to select a vice president who will do what Mike Pence wouldn't do.
Yes.
Do you want that? Are you going to allow that? How mm-hmm. long are we going to tolerate this? If justice doesn't come soon, it's not coming.
Yeah, it's a fair bet, Buzz. It's such a great point. It's a fair bet that what he'll do when he's vetting his next vice presidential nominee is, and bear in mind, Kagan predicts that Donald Trump will run again, and he's very likely to get the nomination. So when he goes to pick his vice presidential nominee, you better believe that that Eastman memo is going to be on the table. Do you support this? Will you execute this? And I need your solemn, you know, oath to that effect. I need you to say, yes, I will do that. If you want to be vice president, you have to agree to do it.
And how do we stop this? We head it off at the pass. We make it impossible for Trump to run again by prosecuting him before that comes. Because if he does run, he will be the Republican nominee, and he could win. We don't even want to take that chance.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even be allowed to run. He shouldn't be walking free by the time it's time for him to start campaigning.
That's right. Yeah.
He needs to be locked up before them. This is where Democrats, and all the way from the Justice Department to Congress to the White House, need to put their foot down to, I hate to use the phrase, bring the hammer down on these folks, but that's what it needs to be done here.
Yes.
To make it stop. We need to prosecute Trump to keep him from running. We need to pass the Voting Rights Acts in Congress, in Washington, to overturn these voter suppression state laws. It's time to get fierce. It's time to aggressively, boldly do these things, because were the tables turned, you know the Republicans would be doing it and will do it if given the chance.
Yeah, and we know the things that need to happen to block him from running again, certainly to block him from winning. We know what these things are. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, prosecution, imprisonment, and so on.
Right.
Could totally stop him from being president again. The problem is we need to be prepared that some of those things may not happen. I mean, it's okay.
Sure, we're not going to get everything. We're not going to get every person. We're not going to prosecute every crime. The big ones, the important ones, we must do it quickly.
Yeah, we need to be prepared for the fact that he's going to run again and that he may get the Republican nomination again, even though some polls are kind of indicating that maybe that won't be the case. I think something like, I think a supermajority of Republican voters either don't want Trump to run or they want someone else to be the nominee. But his approval rating is still remarkably high among Republicans. So you can't count on anything right now, and you need to be prepared for the worst in the meantime.
And we can bring that down some, that Republican remaining Republican support for Trump, we can bring that down some with prosecution, just as it can be used to keep him from running again, which we must do. And I'm telling you, the clock is ticking. Time is running out. The window of opportunity is closing. I don't know how many metaphors I have to use, but it's, let's get with it, folks. We're losing daylight.
Yeah. Well, meantime, some quick poll numbers here before we wrap up. Politico Morning Consult poll says 56% of Americans support the bipartisan infrastructure bill, just 27% oppose, 57% believe the $1 trillion price tag for the bill is either the right amount or too little to spend. Oh, it's not enough.
We have to talk about that price tag.
Yeah, okay. 40% of Americans, meanwhile, approve of the job the Supreme Court is doing. That's a record low. 54% express, quote, a great deal or fair amount of trust in the judicial branch of the federal government, from 67% in 2020. So that's, there's a whole separate conversation happening right now about the politicization of the Supreme Court, which, with great irony, Clarence Thomas is like, what's going on with all this politics in the Supreme Court? I don't understand.
The Supreme Court has hurt its own credibility.
Yeah.
The news media has lost its own credibility, it's done it to itself.
Yes.
These important institutions have lost credibility. That's how things are spinning out of control. And I got to squeeze this in. I hear the closing music. But we have to stop talking about the price tag on Build Back Better and on the infrastructure plan.
Oh, yeah.
Because the net cost is zero. Mm-hmm. And the discussion shouldn't be about the price tag anyway. When Biden sat down with Manchin and asked him what he wants to see in an infrastructure bill, they totaled it up, and it was more money than Biden was asking for.
Yeah.
This business, and it's the news media's fault as much as anybody's, for focusing the debate on that amount and not on what the bill actually does.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to be talking about that and more.
Good.
This is, I still feel as though the infrastructure debate, the debate over the debt ceiling and the government spending bill and so on, these are all things that bore me to tears. I will have to say that, right? That's why.
Let me simplify it for you and everybody.
Yeah.
Republicans have voted to shut down the government, to not fund it, to not pay the bills we've already racked up.
Exactly right. And it's a discussion we have so often in this country. It really ultimately comes down to a discussion of Republican brinksmanship and not really giving a shit, their willingness to sacrifice the economy and jobs and the possibility of a deep recession just so they can say, ha ha, look, it's Joe Biden's fault. Nah, 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 neener, neener.
Why should the party that stormed the Capitol give a damn about the deficit?
Debt? Well, we're going to also talk about Kyrsten Sinema and how she's screwing things up even more this week. All that's coming up next on our Shadow Docket show. That's our bonus show on our Patreon page. Happens right after this music is done playing. Just go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for $5 a month. You get the Shadow Docket after the Tuesday show and after the Thursday show. And about 20 minutes of shit that you definitely want to listen to. You definitely want to hear. It's super secret. That's why we call it the Shadow Docket.
That's right.
Mysterious, yeah. Well, what happens on the Shadow Docket stays on the Shadow Docket.
Yes, please.
We'll see you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.